So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want you to go with me to the book of the Gospel of St. John. The Gospel of St. John. So I want you to come celebrate people being baptized and just let's have a great time in the Lord. I want to talk to you tonight about two kinds of faith. Two kinds of faith. And we're going to the book of, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 17. And we'll begin reading in verse number 14. Take it easy there, hop along. Amen. Don't get too much of a hurry. Amen. But we're glad you're doing good. Amen. Here's what the Bible says. I have given them thy word. And the world has hated them because that they are not of the world. Just as I am not of the world. Man, you know, as I begin to prepare for this message on Monday afternoon, I begin to read over this verse. And it really began to just permeate in my spirit. That I have given them your word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world. Isn't it amazing how tolerable the world is until it becomes to our faith? The ones who preach being tolerant are intolerant of the Christian faith. And they hate us because we're not like them. And they hate us in some ways because we will not give in to say the way that you're living is okay. It's not that they hate us, it's the fact that they hate the standard in which you have because of the Word of God. He says, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil one. Now see, that goes against people wanting to, Lord, I'm just ready to go home. And if the Lord were to come back right now, I'm ready. But if you're taking up a busload right now, I'm good. He says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Verse 17 says this, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what you have said and what you have done in our lives. And I pray that you would do a work in us and through us. Now, God, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what you have for us today in the name of Jesus. And the Bible and the church said, amen. You have to decide which truth you're going to allow to govern your life. I'm going to say that again. You're going to have to decide which truth you're going to allow to govern your life. Here's what I've come to understand in almost 30 years now of pastoring. Is that fact that people only do or abide by the scriptures that they truly believe. That if you don't believe the word, then you usually don't adhere to the word. That we take the word, and we decide what truth we're going to hear and to live by. Because there are two kinds of truth that produce two kinds of faith. And I will go on a little bit further. Whatever truth it is that you believe, it will produce what you think is faith or what you think as reality. Now, I'm just going to take my time here tonight and unpack a little bit because I want to talk to you. Because we've got to recognize that whatever you believe, and I'm going to be repetitive because I want you to get this. Whatever you believe will produce your reality. Whatever you believe, if you believe you've done wrong or you've been done wrong, then your reality is going to be hurt or condemnation or conviction. But if you don't believe, a truth, it won't produce any results. That's why the devil don't want you to know the word of God, because Jesus said, my word is truth. Amen. He said, Lord, your word is truth. And so therefore, if you know the word, it's going to produce a faith. And a faith is how you act and or behave. A faith is how you govern your life. And if you don't believe a truth, then you're not going to govern your life by that truth. Am I making sense? The first kind of truth I want to talk about tonight comes from the word of God in verse 17 when he said, thy truth or thy word is truth. Now, the walk of faith is based on the truth of God's word. You know, Pastor, how do you know there is a heaven? I have a faith based on what I believe is truth that is by the word of God. How do I know that I'm going to get to heaven? You know, if you haven't been raised in church, if you know nothing about the Bible, and you come to a church and they start talking about you got to be covered by the blood, and you don't know nothing, you're like, what? Man, they're going to kill a chicken? And they're going to sprinkle us with some Santa Maria stuff? And we don't want no part of that. So, you understand. So that's why you got to read the whole word. And so how do you know, Pastor, that it is truth? Well, I haven't seen the physical blood of Jesus cover my life. But I believe the truth of his word. Therefore, it has produced a faith in his word. And that faith in what he said, I believe that I am saved by faith, by grace, and not by works. So we've got to get to a realization is that there are two kinds of faith. And there are several kinds of what, if you want to call it, truths. Because faith is a practical expression of your confidence in God and his word. I'm going to say that again. It's a practical expression of your confidence and your faith in God's word. Because if I didn't believe the word, I wouldn't live the way that I live in some areas. If I didn't believe the word. And that's the problem with so many Christians, is we don't read the word, therefore the word cannot produce any faith. Hebrews tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. That second hearing, it means, a Greek word that I can't pronounce, but it means that faith comes by hearing and understanding the word of God. So you understand a truth which produces a behavior. You understand a truth that you begin to base your faith on, and you live that out as an expression of your faith, and you begin to have a set of morals, you have a set of principles, you have a set of how you live and govern your life. If you have, I want you to hear me closely, if you have no word, you have no faith. And the problem with the Church of Jesus Christ today is that we have a faith, we have a faith based on feeling instead of the word. Oh, it's going to get tight before it gets loose. I have faith because I feel. Or I feel, therefore I have faith. No, I have truth, therefore I have faith. Irregardless of what I feel. Because sometimes I don't feel. But I've got to make sure I stand on truth. Because feelings change, but truth never changes. Truth is truth. Listen, that the fire is hot, whether you believe that or not. The fire is hot, whether you have a feeling that it's going to be hot or not. So, the second kind of truth, though, the first truth that I'm talking about is the Word of God. The second kind of truth is what I call sense knowledge truth. Or truth based on your physical senses. What I've already been talking about, the way I feel. Well, you know, there's a truth because I feel this. I see it. I touch it. I taste it. I feel it. I hear it. So therefore, based on my senses, I have a truth. But walking in your physical senses is based on a sense knowledge truth. Does that make sense to you? I tried for a better word of how to explain that, but I'm trying my best here. That what I'm saying is that you believe that there is a truth, a knowledge based on what you see, based on what you feel, based on what you hear, based on what you touch, based on what you taste, then you have a knowledge. But and the problem is we're trying to serve God from a sense knowledge truth, a senses knowledge truth, instead of serving God by faith, instead of serving God by the Word of God. How many times have you talked to people about Jesus and they would say things like, well, I feel. I've got siblings who, when I talk to the Lord, he goes, well, you know, Ronnie, I just feel that if I do the right things to the best of my ability, I'm going to be okay in the eyes of God. That's based on sense, knowledge, not truth. The truth is that if you don't know Jesus, I don't care how good you are, you're still going to hell.
That's right.
Well, I don't believe that because you don't have a God truth. You don't have the truth based on word. You have a truth based on feeling. I just can't reason. I just can't feel how God would do that. Listen, whatever, point number two is this. Whatever you embrace as your truth determines your destiny. Whatever you embrace as your truth determines your destiny. You have to decide which truth will govern your life. Remember, when I was in middle school, there was a slogan that came out that really put Nike on the market and it said, just do it. If it feels good, just do it. And how many of those that got us into a bunch of trouble? If it feels good, do it. Why? Because it might feel good to slap your jaws. Not to you, but to me, right? How many knows what jaws mean? That's Southern right there, boy. Anybody six of y'all know? That means right here. Slap your jaw. Jaws. J-Y-A-W-L-S. That's y'all's. Jaws. I don't even know how to spell it. That wasn't on any spelling test I ever took. Jaws. I said J-A-W. Anyway. Slap you upside the head, you can spell that. But you have a choice either to govern your life by sense knowledge truth or the truth of God's word. And if you base your life on sense knowledge truth, then you're going to be up and down like a yo-yo. And I know many of those Christians that they're up one week and down the next. They're up one day and down the next because it's based on what they feel, based on what they sense. If things are going good, they're up. If things are going bad, they're down. That's not the way that God wants to live. See, listen, I want you to hear. I think this is my next slide. Give it to me there. The decision to follow God's word must be solidified before the battle. And that's the problem, is that we try to go into battle and we're not sure. about ourselves. We're not sure what the Word of God says. And therefore, when we're in the middle of the battle, depending on how we feel during the middle of the battle, will determine the decisions that we make while we're in the middle of the battle. But you've got to know, you've got to solidify what the Word of God says in your life before the battle ever gets there. Because the battle is there to try the truth that you now have a knowledge about. The Bible said, Jesus said, that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, not set you free, but shall make you free, because the truth has already been there that you are free. But until you come to the full knowledge that I am free because of what God said, then you'll never walk around free because you don't know, have a God knowledge of that truth. But once you come to a knowledge of that truth that you know that I am free, there ain't a jail in all of hell that can keep you bound, because you have the Word of God. You've got to make the decision. Solidify it before the battle. Listen, I don't want to be in a foxhole. All right, case in point. My wife and I had been married only about a year or two. And y'all, there was a serial rapist out on the beach, and she worked on the beach in Panama City, Florida. And so I came to her, and I said, baby, I said, I want you to carry this pistol with you. She said, oh, okay. I said, let me show you about it. She goes, I've been raised around guns all my life. I know about guns. Hey, I'm 21, 22 years old. I don't know grits as groceries. So I was like, okay. Figure she knows what she's doing. So she carries this gun for about a month or two. They catch the serial rapist. And then she's going to go to Mobile by herself, which is about a three-hour drive. And she said, baby, I think I'm going to take the gun with me on the three-hour drive to Mobile. I said, okay, she's going by herself. She said, hey, by the way, how do you cock this thing? And I can just imagine she pulled it. Wait. Could you teach me how to cock this thing? All right, thank you. All right, now. But I don't want somebody in the foxhole who don't know how to load their gun. I don't want somebody in the foxhole when we're getting shot at needing me to give them a lesson on how to shoot. When I'm being shot at, I want you to shoot. And the problem is we're not solidified before we go into the battle. Therefore, when we get into the battle, we're like Bonnie Fife with the one bullet trying to get it out of our pocket. Because you're not ready. I like what the one old preacher said one day. He said, I stays ready, so I don't have to get ready. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. See, since knowledge truth is fact, but God's word is truth. Now, I know it's a play on words, but I'm trying to get you somewhere. Believers must be governed by faith or the truth of God's word, and not by sense knowledge. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That I don't walk depending on what I see, sense, taste, or feel, or hear. I walk by what the Word of God says. And the problem with the church is we want to dilute down the Word of God to my experience instead of saying the Word of God is here, and no matter what my experience is, the Word of God is still truth, so I'm going to hold on to the truth, not based on my experience. It may be a fact, the pain in your body is real. But the truth of God's word states you're healed. All right? Your senses were given to you by God to aid you in the physical realm, not the spiritual realm. All right? Now, I know in the spirit we feel, we sense stuff. But the problem is if you try to walk around in your spiritual journey just by what you feel, you're going to be a yo-yo Christian, a flake is what you're going to be. You're going to be weird. Well, I preached that message, you're weird. Well, the wrong kind of weird. Let me see where I'm at. All right. Your senses were never intended to govern your life. They were intended to aid you in your life, but not govern your life. Because how many knows if you did everything you wanted to do, I'll tell you right now, if I did everything I wanted to do and that I feel, I'd be 600-700 pounds. Because I'm just telling you, I feel that Rocky Road ice cream makes me feel good. I just want to go on record. Stuffed crust pepperoni pizza makes me feel good. Barbecue beef stuffed crust pizza makes me feel, oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Broccoli makes me want to throw up. Vegetables, we don't need no stinking vegetables. But I can't go by just what I feel. I know some people go, well, I tell you what, oh, my God. I ate some ice cream and I just feel horrible. I just put that in my body. That's you, ain't it, George? I was thinking of you when I said it. I wasn't going to point you out, but I was thinking about George. George's like, oh, I just feel so yucky. It's like, I feel so incredible. I just feel bliss. I just want to love everybody. If I don't eat sugar, I ain't sweet. Come on, somebody. But the problem is we've been trained to operate based on sense, knowledge, truth. And sense, knowledge, truth becomes a problem when it contradicts and goes against God's word. When it goes against God's word. Now, and I picked on George a minute ago, but now let me bring it down to reality. When you do eat right, you usually do have more energy and you feel better. Right? So if I just go by what I feel in my physical, then I'm not going to be as healthy as I need to be. And if I try to live my spiritual walk by what I feel, then you're not going to be healthy as you ought to be. All right, you ain't got to raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand unless you just feel like, I can't do that. I don't want people looking at me. But if you just get up every morning and you can't wait to get up and do your devotion, you're just, oh, my God, I can't wait. You almost can't sleep. I'm so excited about getting up and reading the Bible. Come on, lift your hand. All right, we got a couple. Praise God. All right. I want y'all to lead the next Bible study. And I want y'all to pray for me is what I want. Right? Because sometimes, you know, whether it's my Bible or my Bible app or something, sometimes I open the Bible and I just go, well, I know I'm not helping nobody right now. Y'all like, that's our pastor. You ain't supposed to feel that way. I bet Pastor Steve don't feel that way. Yes, he does. How do you know? Because I spent the night with him, and when we go on conferences and we're in the same hotel, and I get up and he's crying over there. What are you crying about? I got to do my devotion. That hadn't been quite that bad. Yeah, it's never been that. Never been that bad. Yeah. Just a little. I'm kidding. But what I'm saying is not every day do I want to get up and read my Bible. Well, why do I do it? Because I need to. Why? Because I know if I don't, then the other things, the what I feel, is going to take over, and then I'm going to feel cruddy, and I'm going to feel, and then when I, you know, and it's going to work against me instead of working for me. Hallelujah. And then when I just serve God over my feeling, then I'm going to be all mixed up and messed up because my feelings is what I want, but the truth of God's word is what I need to govern my life by. Am I helping anybody? All right, let's go a little bit further here. You cannot understand God with just your senses. You cannot understand God with your senses. Now, you know, those people that go, well, I don't quite understand the word of God. And I understand that. There are still parts in here I quite don't understand. And I've been doing it for quite some time. Good friend of mine named Wojciech Vol was he has a PhD in religion. Help me, Brian. It's religion but history. So what would it be? History, religion, history. Something like that. Anyway, he has a PhD in religious history. There's what it is. In religious history, he was studying to be a priest in Krakow, Poland. And as he was studying the Bible with his Catholic group of Bible study people, he was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost by just reading the Bible. And matter of fact, not only did he get baptized, half of his Bible study group got filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Catholic Church kicked him out for being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I said all that is you can read the Word of God and get stuff out of it, all right? So you don't tell me, well, I just don't understand. Open up your mind. Don't check your brain out when you read it, all right? But you cannot operate in just senses. You cannot understand the Word of God just simply based on your senses. Faith is a reality of things you can't see. I'm going to say it again. Faith is a reality of things you can't see. What you see is subject to change. But what you can't see is usually eternal. That's what Paul said. Faith based on God's word is unchangeable. You can't change what God's word says. It's unchangeable. So you got to believe and have faith in an unchangeable word. I'm so glad that I don't have to believe in something that changes all the time. But I can believe in gifts, and it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whether I'm going through good times, it's the same. It says the same thing whether I'm convicted or condemned. It says the same thing. Whether I'm living right or whether I'm living not, it still says the same thing. And it is still, the Bible said that my word is forever settled in heaven. So there's nowhere that I can go to get away from what God's word has said and says to me. So, based on God's promise, on what he said, not on how I feel. That's how you have to live. To be successful in your faith walk, you must control your emotions. Because your emotions are up and down, man. Your emotions change with the wind. Your emotions change with your hormones. And men, don't say you don't have them. Mm-hmm. When negative emotions are allowed to take charge of your life, they will lead you away from the truth of God's word. When those negative emotions take over, you don't want to be in the word of God. You know, listen, if I know that I'm wrong, and Sherry knows that I'm wrong, and she's waiting for me to get home so she can tell me that she knows that I was wrong, I'm not really in a good hurry to get home. All right? So what's that got to do with anything, Pastor? Sometimes we don't want to read the Word of God because it's going to tell us what we're feeling is wrong. And we don't want to hear that because we like being mad. Point number three is this. The battle of faith is against sense, knowledge, truth, or reasoning. Now, I struggle with putting reasoning in there. But it is truth, because what you will do is you will try to reasoning with God, and you can't reason with God. He's God. That's like trying to reason with a two-year-old. Well, why? Because, baby, that's not good for you. Well, I want ice cream. All right, a 52-year-old. I want ice cream. What you want for supper? Ice cream. What you want for lunch? Bluebell ice cream. Well, baby, you don't need that because, you know, if you keep eating that, you're not going to be fit in your suits. So? I don't care. Right? And you cannot reason with a two-year-old. Why? Because you cannot reason with God. You can't reason against God. We think that everything in Scripture and everything that God does makes sense. Not to you. Because his ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. But the more that your thoughts become his thoughts, the more your ways become his ways. All right? Everybody all right? Since knowledge truth is fact, but the word of God is truth that changes the facts. All right? The fact is you can't fly. But the truth is, and it was always there. All right, now help me, Keith. The truth is, you could fly if you have the right dynamics, if you have the right aptitude and the right speed and the right airflow. Give me one more. It's what? If you have, oh, I like that. You got the right angle of attack. My God. That's the problem with some of y'all. Y'all angles off. Hey. But if you got the right, he's a pilot, that's why I'm asking. So if you got the right angle of attack, so that truth was always there. And so once you learn the truth about what you thought was facts, the truth changes the facts. Come on now, that's some good stuff right there. I'm getting happy just preaching it. Well, Pastor, I'm damaged. That's a fact. But the word of God's truth changes the facts. That yeah, you were damaged. But his grace is sufficient for you. That he knows how to restore what's wrong with you. He knows how to fix you and restore you to make you better than what you was before you was ever dropped and damaged. The truth of God's word changes the facts. The facts is, Pastor, I'm divorced. The facts is, Pastor, that somebody walked out of me. That's the fact. But the truth is, God said, you ain't got to be in order for me to use you. You ain't got to be. Just because what happened to you 10 years ago does not have to define who you are now. Hey, glory to God. Woo! You are empowered to fail or prosper depending on which truth you choose to accept. If you're not standing on the truth of God's word, you're standing on sense, knowledge, truth. See, I recognize, man. The fact is, I don't deserve to be your pastor. That's a fact. But the truth changes the facts. The truth is that his blood covered my sin and continues to grace be applied to my life, and that the anointing is in proportion to the angle of attack. Come on, I like that. It's proportion to the angle of attack. And baby, when you get the right truth in your life, that I'm not who I was, that I'm not what I am, not what happened to me, I am not what defined me. When I get all the truths together, then baby, I got lift off and I can fly, when the facts were that I couldn't. But I can because of the truth of God's word. Am I making sense to you? All right. So there are two kinds of truth, and we've already been talking about it. Truth from God's word and sense knowledge truth, or truth that comes from your physical senses. Sense knowledge truth is a fact. The word of God is truth. The battle of faith is against sense knowledge truth or reasoning. Faith's worst enemy is reasoning. Because you want to reason everything. Well, that doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't. Bless those that hurt you. In order to win, you got to give up. in order to be the mightiest, you have to become the lowliest. If you want to be the greatest, become the most servant. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Give in order to get. That's a nursery rhyme. No, that's truth, baby. That's truth. If you want to change somebody else, change yourself. What? What? If your spouse ain't acting right, start treating them different. What? What? Amen. Treat them better.
Oh, I treated them different, all right. I used to love up on them. Now I hit them with a frying pan. I like that old lady. One time the pastor was giving this older couple some advice. He says, well, honey, have you tried heaping coals of fire on his head? That's what the Bible says, you know, heap some coals of fire. She goes, no, but I tried a hot pot of grits. See, it doesn't make sense, the reasoning. The reasoning doesn't make sense. Christians are to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The word of God is your only weapon to fight in this fight of faith. The truth of God's word will change the facts of sense, knowledge, truth. What? Brian? What? Pastor Brian? What makes you think that a Pharisee like you, his own words, a Pharisee like you, a Sadducee like you, is now fit for the pastorate? Well, the reasoning says I'm not. What makes you, coach, come on, good. What makes you a candidate for heaven? Good Lord. Now, your wife, we know why she's a candidate for heaven. Because she lived with you. But you understand? Well, what makes me a candidate? The fact is, I'm not a candidate for ministry. I'm not a candidate for heaven. The fact is, neither are you. But the truth is, his blood is sufficient. His blood came and made me whole. His blood has covered the ransom for my soul. And so his truth has caused me to understand that I can't reason why God would take me, and I remember what I was and who I was and even now what I deal with. Why would God take somebody like me and use you? That's a fact. But the truth is, his word, he calls whom he pleases, and he does what he wants to because he is God. Faith people are not moved by sense, knowledge, truth. Faith people are moved by the word of God. Faith people believe the word and they speak the word of God. Facts are subject to change, but truth is eternal. It never changes. All right? Point number four. Whether you are empowered to fail or prosper is determined by which truth you accept. All right, I've already hit that a little bit. You're blessed or you are empowered to prosper when you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly.
Well, yeah, Pastor, this is just how my life is. My mama was crazy. So therefore, I'm crazy. My daddy was crazy. My old crazy aunt, she was drunk. I guess I'm just destined to be a drunk.
No, that's a fact that if you look from the sense, if they could look at your family tree, they would go, yeah, you're destined to be this, that, and the other. But let me tell you something. Your family tree was cut down and the cross was put there. And your family tree is the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where my family tree's at, baby. That's where my family tree is. Amen? So you are blessed and you're empowered. Ungodly people live by sense, knowledge, truth. Ungodly people just live because what feels good.
Well, I'm just tired of not being happy.
So they go out and do stupid stuff to make them happy for a moment, which leads to years of unhappiness, right? Or regret. And then you got to live through all that and get all that right. When you choose the counsel of ungodly people, you will flourish in every area of your life in that ungodliness. Godly people live by the truth of God's word. I told you that everybody from time to time needs a miracle. But I would rather line up behind the door of blessing. Because the door of blessing is God doing something through you. The miracle is God doing something for you. And a miracle only takes place from time to time, but the blessing can be every day of your life. I will walk with the Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you walk in the counsel of ungodly people, you are empowered to fail. Well, how can you say that? I'm successful. Well, what do you call success? What do you call success? See, that's where we got to start redefining. Again, what did our text tell us? That his truth is different than the world truth? That's why they hate you. Because, I've told this story many times. I was doing this, they wanted me to do this motivational talk for the seventh graders of the middle school one year. And they asked me to come, and I went, and I started the talk with, many of you probably don't know me, but I'm the wealthiest man in Citrus County. And one little seventh grader said, I thought I recognized you. Because my idea of wealth is different from theirs. Amen? All right. You are cursed when the word of God departs from your heart and you put your trust in man. Jeremiah 17, 5 and 8. Go there later. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in the man, who makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and he shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease from yielding its fruit. My Lord Jesus. All right, number five, and I'm done. Come on back. Number five. The truth of the word of God sanctifies or separates us, separates you from the world. That's what separates us. Well, Pastor, it's the anointing. Well, yeah, it is, but the reality is the truth of God's word is what separates us. Why don't you believe that way? Because that's not true. Well, you're just being insensitive. I'm just being the word of God. Amen? You know, listen. I'm so thankful, and I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, and I don't mean to get anybody upset. Please hear me. And I thank God that today when we did that funeral, we know where she's at in the presence of the Lord. But not everybody that dies goes to heaven. All dogs don't go to heaven. And what I mean by dogs, I mean people. Because probably all dogs do, but anyway. Everybody's like, yeah, they do. You better not say they don't, because they do. I know Fluffy's waiting for me. Burk, 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 burk. I hope they're on one side of heaven, I can tell you that. All that barking, I'm sick of that. What's going to be heaven for you? Not hearing those stinking dogs barking. That's what's going to be heaven for me. Not going out in the yard and having to step through minefields. Come on. But the truth of God's word is what sanctifies us. It's what separates us. And that's what makes people mad. Well, you don't think a God that loves like you say he loves would send you to hell. No, you're right. He wouldn't send you to hell, so you send yourself. Because he's given you every opportunity to be in his presence. Pastor, we're Wednesday night crowd. You know everybody here saved. The people that come to church on Wednesday night, they're saved people. They love Jesus. Yeah, that's okay. I don't particularly agree with all that, but okay. Sometimes people come on Wednesday night because it's the only night they got off to come to church. So anyway, what are you living your life by? By what you feel? You know, I dealt with a couple of Wednesday nights ago, I think, about this new millennial generation, and everything is on feeling. Well, I don't feel that God would do that. It don't matter what you feel, because you're not God. You got to know what the Word of God says. Well, I just don't feel that. And how many times as a pastor have I heard, I just don't feel like God would be upset with me? What does this say? Well, I don't know. And therefore, since I don't know, I'm not held accountable for what I don't know. I think that's why some folks don't read the Word. Hey, he's gone. He's in Gatlinburg, I think. Isn't Don and Penny? They're on vacation. Don Merle told me that. He said one day he was in church as a teenager, and the pastor said, the Lord only deals with you what you have knowledge of. He went home. He said, I ain't reading the Bible no more. Because I don't want to have knowledge, therefore I won't be accountable. Uh-huh. But man, if there's a way to live victorious, wouldn't you want to know it? I'm going to tell you, man. Emotional Christians wear me out. I mean, they wear me out. And they also blow your phone up. Because the least little thing, Pastor, I got a corn on my toe. Okay, babe, it's going to be all right. You know, have you ever, and I know people like this, have you ever met, it doesn't matter what happens, it's the worst. It don't matter, you might be on vacation yourself. But they would call you on vacation. I know you're on vacation, but I just had to tell you. My marriage is over. Oh my God, what happened? Well, we had a fight. One? Yeah, one. It's over. I'm giving up. Like, you big sissy. Get back in there and fight like a man. Good God. Get in there and fight. What has happened to my iPad? It's like it was almost off. You come over here and mess with this when I was up? Don't you? The Word is what makes the distinction between the world and the Word. The world and Christians. Don't allow, listen to me closely, don't allow ungodly influences to move you from the Word. Quit asking Oprah. Oprah for president. I don't get done. Just because she's rich, how's that working out for us? Let me move on. If you're not standing on God's word, you're standing on sense, knowledge, truth. Your harvest from the promise is eternal. I'm not going to serve the Lord based on my feeling. Can I ask this question without being judged? Because I know some of y'all gonna judge me. It's all right, I'm used to it. How many wake up every morning feeling saved? No, man. Some days I wake up, you know, and I'm a pretty happy person. And my wife gets on to me sometimes because my wife is one of those people, you don't make eye contact before the first cup of coffee. Look, Jody was like me too. All of my prayer warriors. Boys, I'm concerned. I pray for y'all. let me move on. But I wake up happy most of the time. I wake up, I'm ready to go. You know, if we're going to go somewhere, my wife needs an hour. Yeah, maybe more. Just to wake up. I don't know, when my eyes are awake, I'm awake. Let's go. So if we're going to leave at 5:30, my wife got to get up at like 3. So she'll be ready to start getting dressed at 5:30. And that's cool. But what I'm saying is I said all that, I'm pretty happy usually, but I don't wake up feeling saved every day. But now listen to me. I don't wake up nervous. You know, I had a bad dream that Jesus came back and I didn't make it. I don't have that either. Why? Not because of the way that I feel, but because of the truth that I have knowledge of. And man, I'm going to tell you right now, you want to talk about allowing you to sleep good, is when you settle this in your heart that I'm saved by grace and not by my works. That I'm saved. I don't deserve to be saved, but I'm saved. When you settle it, I don't walk around every day, am I going to heaven today? Am I going to hell? No. Listen, if you're struggling, get to the altar now. And don't get up till we'll give you the key. Lock up when you're done. Because you don't need to be up and down and in and out and struggling whether you're saved or not. We got some folks that probably stay with you all night. I'm not one of them. I'm going to pray over you and say, well, work that out on your own salvation. But settle it. Not on your sense, not on what you feel, on what you know. I want you to, whatever it is that you read. I know many of you have your Bible on your iPhone, your iPad, or whatever. I want you to pick up your Bible. And if it's on your app, if it's an app, I want you to open the app. And I just want you to take it in your hand and just pray a simple prayer with me. Come on, everybody take it. If you can, lift it up. And I want you to pray this prayer for you, but pray somewhere along this. Lord, help me to know your truth and let it solidify my life. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Pastor, that's simple? Yeah, I pray it often. God, help me solidify this in my life. Because the more of this that I know, the more level my life is. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I won't embarrass you, but if you don't know Jesus, man, you don't want to leave this place. I wouldn't cross the street without Jesus. I wouldn't go to Walmart without Jesus. But if you don't know him, I promise you I won't embarrass you. But if you don't know him, lift up your hand right now. Preacher, I want to know him. I see that hand. God bless you. Anybody else in this room? Hallelujah. I want everybody to pray this prayer with me this tonight. Whether you're saved or not. And thank you, sir, for raising your hand and making that commitment to Christ. Everybody pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask you to come into my heart and come into my life. Forgive me of my sin and make me whole. I may not understand everything right now, but I know you died for me and I want to make heaven. So in your name, I receive you. I accept you and never let my life be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand of praise. Come on, stand to your feet. I know I'm supposed to be done. It's 8:32. But let's just take about 5 minutes. Maybe not even 5 minutes, but I just want to take a moment. And let's just worship the Lord for a moment. Pastor, I don't feel like it. I didn't say if you felt like it. Come on, let's worship him.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.